Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5, Paul explains to us how we ought to behave toward one another. He says, beginning in verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." That's interesting. Verses 2 and 5 seem almost to contradict each other. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burden. And verse 5 says, everybody bear your own load. Well, why does he say it? What does that mean? Does that make sense, doesn't it? He could say both those things. Well, he means by that, certainly we need to bear our load when we can. But we all know that there are times when our load just gets to be too much to bear alone. And we may need someone else to help. And certainly we know there are times when our burden's pretty light. We may have days, even weeks, months, some people have a whole year where everything's easy. Not having a hard time. They need to help those people that are having a hard time during those times. But we all have to help one another. During one of the hurricanes, I don't remember now which one it was, the storm was moving through. It may not even be a hurricane. It may have just been a storm moving through. It was before they cut these trees back behind the house. And we were looking out the window, and we were watching those trees. And we noticed after we saw a lot of trees down after that storm, and we noticed that most of the trees that were in close groups together did pretty good. But boy, those big old trees that were out in an open field all by themselves were the ones that had gotten ripped up, or the ones that weren't close to a whole group of trees. And there's a reason for that. For one thing, the roots of those trees that are close together intertwine. And so when one tree is pulled, all the rest of those trees' roots help hold it. And also, as that tree up at top blows, it blows up against another tree. And that tree helps support it. And Dawn and I talked about that. She said, you know, we ought to be like that as Christians. We ought to hold each other up, stand close to each other, and help hold each other up instead of trying to be out there all by ourselves. And that's when we're going to get blown down or broken off. And it's so true. The trees that stick together make it through the storms most of the time. But those trees that try to go it alone, they're the ones that get ripped up. It doesn't matter how big and strong they are. I've seen some of the biggest trees that I've ever seen in my life ripped up by their roots or broken off about 8 or 10 feet high. Big old trees, so big around you couldn't even take 4 or 5 people to reach around them. When we went down to Biloxi, we saw big old trees like that, broken off or ripped up by the roots. Why? Well, they didn't have enough support. They didn't have enough support. And we're the same way. If we don't have enough support from each other, we're liable to get ripped up by the roots or broken off at the trunk. Well, Paul indicates here that many times people's burdens contribute to their being overtaken in a sin. He says, if a man's overtaken in a trespass or in a sin, you spiritual ones restore one, but considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And he says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Because that overwhelming feeling that people get when they have just so many burdens pressing down on them is a temptation in and of itself. And many yield to that temptation. And of course, when we help brethren with their burdens, we help keep them from falling away from the faith. Sometimes people feel like there's just so much, there's just so overwhelmed. They just can't do it. If they just give up, it'd be easier. It'd be better. All these troubles would go away if I just quit trying to be a Christian. And to some degree, there's some truth in that, because if you give up, the devil's not going to attack you as hard. As long as you're trying to be a Christian, he's going to be pressing you. He's going to be attacking you. He's going to be burdening you every chance he gets. But if you give up and go with him, he's going to lighten up on those things, because he's glad he's got you. But we've got to be careful, because if we become overburdened, we may be at the point where we may fall away from the faith. So think of those here in Butler, in Choctaw County, in our area, who are unfaithful now, who once were faithful. Is it possible that they had burdens to bear that overwhelmed them? Was there something maybe that we could have done to help bear those burdens, to help them so that they wouldn't have been so overwhelmed, so that they wouldn't have given up? Oh, I know, we say, well, not with everyone. No, not with everyone, but sometimes there may have been some who had troubles. We need to be sure that we are not the kind that just walks by on the other side when somebody has trouble. That we're the kind that stops. How do we respond to people who have burdens? If they're overtaken in sin, or if they're bowed down with troubles, how do we handle them? Do we ignore them? We'll just ignore it, and you know, maybe they'll get themselves straightened out after a while. Do we criticize them? Why, you've been a Christian for 5 years. You ought to know better. You ought to be able to handle that. You straighten up and do right. You can do better than that. I never acted like that when I was a Christian for 5 years. I can do better, and you can do better. Do we shame them? They say, well, how could you be so weak? Why can't you handle your own problems? Do we talk about them behind their back, gossip about them to others? Can you believe so-and-so is in such and such? Do we just shun them? Yeah, well, I don't want to have anything to do with that person. They're in sin, so I'm just going to stay as far away from them as I can. Do we judge them? Well, they weren't ever really converted, I guess, or they wouldn't be acting this way. They were never really a Christian at all, or else they wouldn't be doing such and such. Or do we offer to help them with their burden? What do we do? A lot of different attitudes there, a lot of different possibilities. The Bible has a lot to say about burdens, and a lot to say about bearing burdens, particularly those burdens of others. Matthew 23 and verses 1 through 4, Jesus said of the scribes and Pharisees, if they tell you to observe it, then observe it and do it. But do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. So here were the Pharisees. They had the position of authority. Jesus said they sit in Moses' seat. In other words, they have the authority, just like the elders in the church have the authority to make certain rules and regulations for the church. Now, obviously, we know they can't go beyond what's written, but there are certain areas where they have the authority. Well, the Pharisees were in that position. They have the authority. And Jesus said, if they tell you to do something, then you do it, because they're in that position of authority. But he said, don't you go doing like they're doing, because they're saying all these things, but they're not doing it. But you do what they say. I've known churches with some elders like that. They'd tell you the right thing to do, but they weren't doing it themselves. We're fortunate here to have two men who love the Lord and love the work here, and they're trying to do everything they can to keep this work sound and faithful and going strong. But not every congregation has elders like that. You know, there are some men who make it into the eldership who are self-serving, out for power or glory. There are some men who somehow make it in the eldership who aren't even qualified to be elders. That happens. Well, they get into that position and they make rules and regulations in some ways for the church. They make some demands of the congregation. Jesus said, yep, do it. But don't do like they're doing. They may not be living the example of what they're telling you to do. So you look at what the Bible says and do that. But notice what he says. But they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. The Pharisees were always making more and more little rules to get people to follow. You know, you've got to do this if you want to be a good Jew. You've got to do this if you're going to be a good Israelite. You've got to do this and this and this and this. And they had all sorts of rules. There's a book called the Talmud, a book full of the rules and regulations that the different scribes and councils of the Jews down through the years had made about, they had rules about everything. What order you clipped your fingernails in and what you did with the clippings when you were done. How to wash your hands before you ate. You had to use a certain amount of water to wash this hand and a certain amount to wash this hand and never let the dirty hand touch the clean one. And they had all sorts of rules about that. You know, they had rule after rule after rule. Jesus said they were binding heavy burdens on men's shoulders, and they wouldn't even pick them up with one of their little fingers. Luke 11 and verse 46, he says, "Woe to the lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves don't touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Have you ever noticed that the people who make the laws usually exempt themselves from having to follow the law they've made? Our politicians and congressmen, so they're famous for that. They'll make a law that you have to do such and such. Even something as simple as minimum wage, you realize that the congressmen and their office, they can hire a secretary and pay her less than minimum wage if they wanted to. See, that law doesn't apply to them. They made the law for everybody else, but it doesn't apply to them. Now, most of them wouldn't do that because they know the press would be all over them for that. But there are some other things that they do. Some of the tax codes that we have to follow, they don't have to follow that. That's for regular citizens. That's not for us lawmakers. We're above that. Well, he said that's the way the lawyers in his day and age were. They loaded all these burdens up, and they wouldn't touch them. They didn't have to do that. That was for other people. Matthew 11 and verse 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus understood that the people had been pressed down with all these burdens for all this time and that they didn't need all that. They needed a burden that was light enough to be able to carry. They needed something that they could handle. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," he said. Romans 15, 1 through 3, we see that we then who are strong ought to bear with those who are weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, "The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." And Jesus tells us we need to bear with the weak. We need to not give up on them just because they're struggling along. I know when I was in training for football and different sports, we had to do weightlifting. And there were always some guys that were just stronger. They could lift twice as much or three times as much as some of the other guys. And you know, those were the guys that you wanted to help you when it was your turn. You wanted them to be there in case you couldn't lift it, they'd catch it. You know, they were strong. And I remember one time in particular, one of the smaller guys, he was a quarterback on our team, but he was a smaller guy. And they had put too much weight on the bench press. And he got it up, but he couldn't hold it, and there wasn't anybody there to bear it with him. And he dropped, and it broke his sternum. Because there was nobody there to help bear that burden for him. And we, there were guys around, so somebody could have been there, but there just wasn't anybody there helping to bear that burden. We've got to bear the burdens of those that are weaker than us. We've got to know that they can't lift that on their own. It's too much for them. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly." We're not talking about the folks that are rebellious and unruly. He says, you warn those folks. But he says, comfort the faint-hearted. You ever feel faint-hearted? I mean, you felt that feeling physically when you stand up and you go, oh, I got to sit down again, I'm going to faint. But have you ever felt that feeling spiritually? That I just, oh, I've got to have some meditation or some prayer or some Bible study. I've got to have something or I'm just going to pass out spiritually. I'm just not going to be able to make it. He says, comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. We talked about that a little bit this morning with, you know, when somebody is weak and feeble and somebody needs to help them and support them as they walk along. He says, hold them up. Help them stand. And we know Jesus is the one ultimately that gives us the power. But we can help hold each other up just like those trees do when they're growing together. But then he says, be patient with all. Even those people that are unruly, he says, be patient with them. And it's hard to know just how long to be patient with some of those folks that are rebellious and unruly. But he says, warn them. And I guess then if they don't heed the warning, then it's time to let them know that it's time to go. Well, let's think about some of the types of burdens that we can help bear. There are physical burdens. Now, all of us have physical things that we have to do, and sometimes we can get overloaded with physical work. It's just too much to get done. It may be somebody moving. I know Viola's asked for help plenty of times. I hope she's not going to move many more times. She knew. She couldn't move all that by herself. She better call on somebody to help her. We have physical things like that sometimes that we need some help with. We need somebody to help us with that physical burden. So it may be something like moving, or it may be some yard work. You know, sometimes somebody gets to the point, either they've got such a big yard, or they don't have the right equipment, or maybe they used to be able to take care of the yard, but they are sick, or injured or had surgery, something like that, and can't do it. It may just be for a week or two that they need somebody to help them. It may just be because they've just gotten to the point where physically they just can't do it anymore at all, and they need somebody else to take it over. Of course, those who are ill have a lot of burdens. You know, just trying to get up and fix something to eat might be too much. You know, and it's wonderful. I know the ladies do an excellent job. I won't say 100%. I don't know if we ever do 100%, but they do an excellent job of keeping up with who's ill and who's had surgery and who, things like that, that who needs to have some food brought to them because they can't do it themselves and things like that. And then, of course, the burdens on the aged, the elderly. There comes a point where physically we're just not able to do. We may not be able to drive anymore and need somebody to drive us. We may not be able even to reach up to change a light bulb in our house and need somebody to come do that for us. There are a lot of things like that that we get to the point we just can't. We're going to have somebody to come do it. And so these are the kinds of burdens physically that we might help with. And I'm sure there are others as well that we might need to help with. Well, then there are emotional burdens. It may be bereavement, a death in the family. Oh, that's an emotional burden and a difficult time. It may be loneliness. We've got a lot of single folks in our congregation, and they may be lonely sometimes. And they may just need somebody to talk or maybe even just somebody to listen. They may want to do all the talking. They may just need you to hold the phone and listen. Maybe stress. Now, there are good stresses and bad stresses. They say things like weddings, a new baby, all those are stressful situations, even though they're happy times, but boy, they can be stressful too. And then there are bad stresses as well. There's the stress of all our jobs, and we may be having difficulties with friends or family or whatever the case may be that's stressing us. And we need someone to help us with that emotional burden. And then, of course, there are times of divorce and separation. I wish we could say that in the church that never happened, but it does. Even in the church, there are times where people separate and there's divorce, and that's an emotional burden to both or all of those involved, and even to children as well who may be involved in that situation. Then we see there are financial burdens. You know, sometimes someone just gets overwhelmed by their payments at a certain time. And maybe, you know, a hot month like last month, and your electric bill may just shoot up to twice what it was before, and you just didn't have the income to take care of. And we can help each other with those kinds of things. It may be something like a destruction of property, maybe a car wreck, or maybe like with the hurricane when some had their homes damaged or things like that. That's a financial expense that we may not be ready or able to bear. And then, of course, some large families may have needs that go beyond what they're able to take care of. And then you may have a family who's taking care of others, and they're stretched to their limits because they're trying to help other people as well. And they may have to cut back and let you help with some of those things and let us take care of some of those things. Those financial burdens can be shared. You know, we see that in the church in the first century. We see Barnabas selling some property and taking the money and giving it for the apostles to give to those who had financial needs. They had special needs. He wanted them to be able to have that. Well, what about social burdens? What about single parents? You know, there are a lot of single parents. And being a single parent is hard work. Trying to be a mother and a father to a child, that's nearly impossible. There may be some burdens like that. There may be someone who's always felt like an outcast, never felt like a part of anything. And maybe they've always been shy or nervous around other people. And they may need some help socially bearing that burden. Just like Paul with, you know, we don't think about Paul in this light, but you remember he was an outcast after he became a Christian. The Christians didn't want to have anything to do with him. They said, hey, that's the guy that was persecuting us. But Barnabas took Paul and brought him with him and said, hey, this guy's been preaching. He's changed. He's a different fellow. And sometimes we may need somebody to take us by the arm and walk with us into a group so we don't feel so scared. And I don't necessarily mean physically by the arm, but just to be there with us, to be a support in a social situation because of some shyness or some problems adapting to certain situations like that. And then, of course, there's the problems of other singles mingling. Sometimes, sometimes some of our singles feel a little left out with some of the things like the Valentine dinner. Well, I want to go. I want to be a part of the church in there, but I don't have a Valentine to go with. And, of course, we try to make them feel welcome, too, that it's just we're all together to be together for fellowship, and it's not a couple thing. But sometimes some people do feel like certain things are just for couples, and, well, I'm not a couple, so I don't belong. I can't go to that. I can't do that. And we need to be sure to help and bear those burdens together. And there may be some mental burden. You know, there may be some problems. Of course, there's some mental problems that need medication, that need professional help that may be beyond us individually. But there are other things that we can help. Some may just be ignorant of what the Word of God says about a particular issue. And they may need someone to help guide them to understanding that Word better. They may have certain fears that need to be calmed. They may have doubts about something in the Word that need to be overcome. They may misunderstand something in the Word that needs to be explained more clearly. These are mental, intellectual burdens. You know, there's no greater burden intellectually than to be doubting these things that are in the Bible. And we live in a world where that happens so much because of the things that are taught to children from an early age about evolution and about all of these things that are contrary to the Bible. So many times we have young adults who are really confused about how does what the Bible says about God creating the world, and how does that fit with what I learned about everything evolving, and how does that, and they really struggle with that, trying to make two things that don't go together fit somehow. It's quite a struggle for some. And we need to be able to help answer some of those questions, or at least point them in the direction towards someone who can. And then, of course, there are spiritual burdens. Newborn Christians, young Christians who are, they've got some spiritual burdens. They've got a lot of growth to do, and they're really going to need some help to do that growth. They've got spiritual burdens to deal with. And chances are, in most of those cases, they're going to be dealing with non-Christian or un-Christian, anti-Christian sometimes family members who don't want them to be Christian. That's an extra burden as well. And a lot of us, I don't know, maybe all of us, have some family members that aren't Christian. That we have, what a burden that is. To know that we need to do something to help reach them, but sometimes we feel at a loss. I know my dad talked to me about what he had done to try to reach my grandfather. And what a struggle that was to him, and what a burden it was for a long time to him that his father, my grandfather, would never, he knew what the truth was. He was taught, but he would never obey it. He just never would come around to doing what needed to be done. And then, of course, we have the spiritual burdens of our sins and our temptations and our weaknesses that we struggle with. And sometimes we're afraid, because of the way other Christians have treated us in the past, we're afraid to reveal those struggles that we're having. And that's a sad thing. The Bible tells us to confess your sins one to another. But boy, if the last time I opened up to you, you went and gossiped behind my back about all those things, I don't want to share that with you again. You're going to hurt me again. You're going to stab me in the back. I wouldn't want it. Why would I want to do that? So we've got to be sure that we approach one another in ways that will help to bear those burdens instead of in ways that will cause the burdens to be worse. There is no type of sin that is worse than a secret sin. A secret sin will eat you up inside. Any sin that you're struggling with, you need to have at least one other person that you can talk to about that struggle that you're having. You can't, and we say, tell it to Jesus. Well, it's good to be able to tell it to Jesus, yes. But it's also good to have a brother or sister in the flesh that can talk back to you as well. A shoulder to cry on sometimes. Or someone to pat you on the back and encourage you when you need that encouragement. Or someone to confront you and keep you accountable for that struggle that you're facing and keep you straight and on the straight and narrow path. Well, what is your attitude toward those who have burdens to bear? Do you judge them and talk about why they should have taken care of themselves and prevented the burden? What if Jesus took that attitude toward us and our sin? What if he just said, well, they should have taken care not to ever get into sin. And then I wouldn't have to go down there. What shape would we be in? Paul says that we need to be burden bearers and not burden analyzers. It's not our job to try to determine whether someone deserves our help when they're bearing a burden. It's our job to help them bear the burden and deal with the whys later. Once they're out from under that burden, then we'll be able to more clearly and more easily talk with him about those things. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. A subjected person came along and said, "I really feel for you being down there." An objective person said, "Well, there was a pit here. It's only logical that someone would fall down there." A Pharisee said, "Only bad people fall into a pit." A mathematician calculated how deep the pit was and how wide and how long it took him to fall from the top of the pit to the bottom. A news reporter wanted to have the exclusive story on his pit and how he fell into it. Confucius said, "If you'd listen to me, you wouldn't be in that pit." Buddha said, "You're not really in that pit. It's only a state of mind." A realist said, "Yep, that's a pit, all right." A scientist calculated the pressure necessary in pounds per square inch to get him out of the pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the different rock strata that were in the pit on the sides of the wall. An evolutionist said, "You're a rejected mutant destined to be removed from the evolutionary cycle." In other words, you're going to die in the pit, so you can't reproduce any pit-falling offspring. Survival of the fittest. The county inspector asked if he had a permit for the pit. A professor gave him a lecture on the elementary principles of the pit. An evasive person avoided the subject of the pit altogether. A self-pitying person said, "Oh, you should have seen the pit I was in." An optimist said, "Well, things could be worse." A pessimist said, "Things will get worse." But Jesus, seeing the man in the pit, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. What about you? What do you do when someone's in the pit? Are you a burden bearer or a burden analyzer? Do you have burdens you need to turn over to Jesus today? Or are there burdens which we can help you with today? Maybe you've got some of both. Maybe you've got some burdens that you can take care of if you'll just make up your mind to do so. We don't know, and we can't help if you don't let us know about your burden. Paul says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." But if I don't know you've got a burden, I can't help you bear it. We are family. We are one. And if you have a burden, let us know what we can do to help. And if someone lets you know of a burden, do what you can to help. You see, we can't always be on the receiving end. "Well, everybody help me with my burden. Help me with my burdens. Help me with my burdens," all the time. At some point, we've got to help somebody else with theirs too. It's a two-way street. I know sometimes our own burdens get so overwhelming that we can't help anybody else with theirs. But once somebody else helps us with those burdens and they become less overwhelming, then we need to look to see who we can help. How can we help somebody else who's in the state that we were in? If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation, either in initial obedience to the gospel to become a Christian by believing and repenting and confessing Christ and being willing to be baptized, or if as a Christian you perhaps have not helped to bear others' burdens, or perhaps you have burdens of your own that you need help bearing. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.